Hörsaal. 15 Minuten Forschung.
Welcome to a new episode of Hörsaal, 15 Minutes of Research. This will be a premiere. It's the first episode to be recorded in English entirely. I'm very happy to be that international. And I'm also very happy to have two guests here this time. Please introduce yourselves before we start.
First of all, thank you so much for having us. My name is Astrid Meirich, and I'm currently a pre-doc research assistant at the Fachdidaktik Anglistik Institute. And yeah, I'm doing my PhD on teacher status. And I'm happy to report today on our research project together with my colleague, Sonia.
Hi, and thank you so much for having us. My name is Sonia Babic. I'm, like Astrid, a PhD candidate. And I'm also a research assistant. We work together at Fachdidaktik Anglistik. So in my research, I look at the well-being of teachers, language teachers, who are kind of approaching their the end of their careers. They are approaching retirement have found interesting insights from these teachers because they are university teachers.
Okay, thank you very much. As I said, I'm very happy to be here because this topic is very topical that we're going to talk about today. It's teacher well-being, the sort of mental and physical well-being health of teachers. And teachers, I think, are one of the most overlooked groups in the educational system, although they are such an important part of it. It's mostly about students, and it should be about students, mind you. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be, but teachers are important characters in this entire system. So my first question would be, why are you interested in teacher well-being, and what do you mean actually by teacher well-being?
I think exactly what you just said. Teacher well-being is often neglected and not many people talk about it. And it's such an important core element of education. And what studies have shown actually is that teachers that feel well mentally, physically, and so on, that they actually teach more creatively, they cultivate better relationships with their students, and they also have better classroom management. And that, of course, then is positive also for the learners and makes learners feel well. And when learners feel well, also parents feel better. And that, you know, comes back to the whole school system, to the education system. So it's actually a very positive cycle that's going on in here. And we must not forget teachers. So it's not like an optional extra that you take a look at teacher well-being. It should be a core element and a fundamental element of any state's, any country's educational system.
All right, so your research started already a while ago. You told me that you started in 2018, is that right?
That's exactly right. So we started in 2018 and we designed our study to be developed in three phases. So basically in the first phase, we wanted to hear from teachers. We wanted to learn about their experiences in teaching at schools. So we designed a study to kind of interview them and learn from their experiences. And we were really interested in learning about teachers across the whole career span. So from teachers who are studying to become teachers, student teachers, let's say, to those who are kind of approaching retirement. So we interviewed 58 teachers, and these teachers were teachers across Austria and the UK.
And what's interesting, I think, about those two contexts is that they're quite different. So in Austria, of course, English is considered a core subject, and English has a very high value, and so also language teachers have a high value. And comparing that to the UK, in UK it's called modern foreign languages that are being taught, MFLs, like Spanish, Chinese, French, and so forth, German also. And numbers in the UK of students taking language courses have been dropping. So language teaching is actually in a time of crisis in the UK. And so language teachers in the UK feel that their profession is not being valued, and they feel that they have a very low status. So that also affects their well-being massively.
Okay, just to quickly ask something here. Did you only interview teachers who are teaching a foreign language or a language, or teachers of any subject?
We actually were interested in language teachers. So as Astrid just explained, in Austria, this was an excellent example of a country where English is thought as a second language, while in the UK, it is an Anglophone country where obviously English is the native language and the other languages are actually thought. So that's why we chose these two countries as great examples of different contexts.
But also, what we can add maybe here is that in Austria, since every teacher usually has a second subject, if we talk on of teacher well-being, a teacher who would teach English would also maybe be a maths teacher, would also be a psychology teacher. So we can, in some areas, also generalize teacher well-being. And but our focus of the research study is, in fact, as Sonia just said, language teachers.
Okay. All right. Well, you already mentioned that your research started a while ago, and then something happened. A pandemic happened. Mm. So I expect that this had a huge impact on your work, on your research. Can you tell me a little bit about that, how it affected your research and how it maybe shifted even your focus or your perspective on it?
Definitely. I think, yeah, all of us were influenced by this pandemic crisis. We as researchers, of course, we adapted our research, but also the teachers. So we did, we also interviewed teachers during the pandemic. We interviewed 22 teachers from across the globe. So then we expanded our research and didn't limit it anymore to Austria and the UK. And we had teachers from Asia, from Australia, South America, US and Europe. And they told us a lot about their challenges during that time, but also their resources they could draw on. And but what we want to do with these findings is also, we just don't want to limit them only to times of crisis, but beyond, so that we learn from that experience and that we learn also, you know, to find out what helps teachers in times of crisis and how we can support them beyond the time of this pandemic.
I think that Esther just made a very good point in how we actually see well-being. So for every person, you experience different kinds of challenges, and in your life, you kind of build on different kinds of resources, so different kinds of reservoirs that you can draw on in times of crisis, in times of stress. So this is also part of our research. So we were looking into what kinds of resources teachers draw on and also what kinds of challenges there are in the teaching profession.
Okay, your research is still going on, of course, and it's not entirely finished, but I hope you can tell me already a little bit about what you found in this regard. So it would be interesting to me, and I'm including a fun fact here, my parents are teachers, so that would be interesting to me on a personal side as well. What challenges did the people name that you interviewed, and what are their resources of strength? What gives them, you know, what makes them feel well, especially in times of crisis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so during the times of crisis, during the pandemic, teachers reported, for example, that it was very hard for them to manage their work-life boundaries, because now they were at home, they were working from home all of the time. They felt like students could reach them nonstop, and they didn't know anymore when to stop work. Literally, you could work until midnight and still emails would pop in, and when do you draw that line for yourself? So I made them aware also of, okay, now I need to find boundaries again. It was especially hard for those who had maybe children at home, you know, to how to balance that, taking care of your kids and finding also a good kind of routine out of school, out of sitting in front of your laptop, computer and so forth. Other challenges included, for example, that teachers were afraid of getting COVID, or were afraid of their family members getting COVID. And other problems, for example, included their relationships to their students. That was a main theme also, because the main element of any teacher's life is the relationship you have with your students. And for some, that completely vanished, and they were not able to communicate with them anymore, or lost track of them, couldn't reach them. So that was very, very hard. And some teachers actually said, like, if that would go on like that, if teaching would look like that for the rest of our lives, they would probably change the job. So that's not, you know, what they were trained for.
And what's actually really interesting is that different circumstances the teachers were working in and different kinds of relationships that they had kind of just emphasized in a way. So if they had great relationships with their colleagues, they became better, so they could communicate with them, they could talk to each other, text each other anytime. But if this relationship was bad before, it was even worse during the pandemic. And it's very similar with students, actually, because with some students, teachers developed even better relationships because they could talk to them in a way more closely, while for others, they didn't want to, for example, turn on their cameras, they didn't reply to emails and so on, so this relationship became more distant. So it looks like, or feels like, as if pandemic had like these amplifying glasses on the situation that was going on before.
Yeah, that's actually often been said about Corona in many respects, that it has, as you say, amplifying effect on a lot of things. I would be interested, since we are recording this at the University of Graz, is it the same for university teachers as it was for school teachers?
Well, actually, we didn't research on that. We don't know how university teachers are dealing with this, which is actually a really good point, because this is something that we would need more research into. Sometimes university teachers are neglected in the sense that when we talk about teachers, usually mental picture is also the school teachers. But as you said, we don't know much about it, actually. But we are also, as we are working in a university, educating young adults, we're educating next generations, and we definitely need more data on that.
And what's also very pertinent is actually that in the process of how media reported about the pandemic crisis, there was a lot going on about students and about teachers in school, but university teachers, for example, have been totally neglected in that regard. So I mean, maybe people can relate to that, but we, as university teachers and so on, we don't know when they will get a vaccine, for example, or when students will be definitely back in a classroom. So there's been very little communication going on in that regard. And I bet that many university employees feel neglected in that sense.
Actually, what you just said reminded me of something else we found in our study, is the sense of uncertainty that is obviously across the profession. So it's not just for teachers who are working at schools, but it's also for us university teachers, university staff, that you don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to go back to classrooms or teach online, or some kind of a hybrid model of this? So the sense of uncertainty is actually contributing to the sense of stress as well.
Yeah, I imagine that this sort of flexibility that is required of you can, for some, feel liberating. For others, it can feel more stressful. Probably depends on yourself, on your situation. There are a lot of factors that come into play.
Since you asked about challenges the teachers faced during the pandemic, I would also maybe like to mention some of, let's say, resources of what went well during the pandemic. So, for example, teachers found that they have more time for themselves, which is a bit contradictory to what Astrid said, because for some, they couldn't make boundaries between work and life. However, some teachers could very well do that, so leave everything and go for a walk. Some said that it was really good that they didn't have to commute, so only because of that they had more time, or they could just in the middle of the day drop everything and spend time with their children. Some said that they are doing exercise more, so more sports, that they are trying to eat well. So it also looks like the pandemic actually made this trigger that they realized that they want to take care of themselves and of their well-being, which is a really good thing.
Yeah, I think well-being is definitely also your own responsibility to some extent. I mean, we can talk about the system that needs to care for teachers, but I think, as I said, it's also partly our own job to take care of our own well-being. We are at the actually end of our talk. As a last question, I want to ask you, can you already draw one major conclusion of your research, or is it too early?
I think what we can definitely say is that well-being and taking care of well-being is twofold. As you said, it's you have to be aware of what works for you, and you have to have coping strategies and learn how to take care of your well-being. But also, institutions have to be able to support you, and the system needs to support you. So what we found is that the teachers have certain needs at various times in their lives. And also school management and so on have to be aware of that and have to support teachers at a time. One example would be early career teachers. So teachers who leave university and start in a new school, for example, they often find it hard to, you know, connect to their colleagues, or they still find their way in the school community. And you could, if you're aware of that, that that's a thing they struggle with, that you support them, that you help them, that you give them a mentor, that you give them someone who leads them in. I think, yeah, there are a few things that we found so far that are very helpful and that we hope will foster teacher well-being.
Exactly. So that's what our research shows, what are different resources and challenges at different stages or phases of teachers' careers, because they differ. As our lives develop, so our careers develop, like how much we are comfortable with what we are doing with our subject that we are teaching, and that grows and develops throughout careers. So for example, teachers who are in the middle of their careers, they usually also have a lot of domestic obligations, so they juggle multiple roles, and that's something that, for example, also institutions perhaps should have in at the back of their minds in understanding how to support teachers, or teachers who are in their late career, approaching retirement. Sometimes they're just very tired of everything, and sometimes they become impatient, but they, on the other hand, they now have time for themselves because their children are older, and they have time to devote to themselves, and a lot of them flourish. So these are the things that, like, the teacher career or the teacher profession is very dynamic, and if we understand this process, then we can understand better how to support teachers.
Yeah, that's very interesting dynamic, definitely. Last but not least, you're going to write all of this up in a book. When will it be out?
So we are writing the first chapters right now. We prepare to submit the first draft by the end of this year. So we hope that it will be out at some point next year, but we will definitely post that so that everyone knows when they can read about it.
Definitely, please do. Thank you very much, Astrid and Sonja, for being here today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks. As I said, this is the first episode of Hörsaal in English. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope to hear you again soon. Bye-bye.
Hörsaal. 15 Minuten Forschung.